Well, hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started, and you can learn the easy way what we learn the hard way. I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television.
I'm Hannah Rosner. I mostly write for television.
And I'm Erica Schreiber, and I mostly write features. And we're super excited to have you here today.
Especially since we're going to be talking about our favorite subject ever, dealing with rejection.
Woo! Dealing with rejection! I don't know if there's ever been anyone who went through this industry and didn't deal with a single rejection. Maybe Steven Spielberg's nephew, but like maybe that's not even true.
I know of one guy.
Oh, yeah?
I've never met him. I'm sure he's lovely, but he basically got his first staff writing job, first try ever, as soon as he got out of college. And then after he got his staff writing job, he was shot up to showrunner for the next season.
Wow.
Fuck that guy. I hope he's nice, but, you know, still. I have a friend, I wouldn't say she'd never faced rejection, but I feel like she's had kind of, she's such a nice person and she's had kind of a charmed career. Like she was the assistant to an agent or a manager or something like that. And she wrote maybe her first feature and won the Nickel Fellowship. And then her boss became her agent and she got the script sold. And then she's been staffed on like, you know, three different shows. And it's like, it never happens that way, but it happened to her.
Well, congratulations to her.
I feel like everyone else besides Jess's friend and my friend have gone through rejection. It's like the most consistent thing about trying to be a writer in the entertainment industry is you will receive so many rejections. So many. You'll lose track.
So many in so many different forms.
Yeah, exactly. I always say that like the thing about trying to get anything started as a writer is that you have to throw the spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. So like you can't just throw one piece of spaghetti at the wall, you know, or else you're just going to have a piece of spaghetti on the floor. Now that I think about this expression,
I was going to say it actually depends what kind of pasta sauce you use.
But the idea being that like you need to have a lot of different things and be willing to make a lot of different tries because you only need one to stick, and getting one to stick is pretty damn hard. So throw that spaghetti. Write those scripts.
Another food-related metaphor is don't put all your eggs in one basket. So if you only have one egg and you're really precious about it, and that egg cracks because everyone hates that egg very, very much, then you're kind of fucked. But if you have six eggs, there's a better chance that at least one of them will end up surviving and become a chicken.
Rejection comes in a lot of different forms. You know, like you can get rejected for a job that you applied for. You can get rejected for a script that you wrote. Like say you ask someone to read it and they don't. Maybe it's a rep who says, no, thank you. I don't want to rep you. Or it's a producer who's like, I don't want to make this. Or another writer who's like, I reject this script because it's not there yet, you know? Pitches is a great way to get rejected. You pitch on a project, you don't get it most of the time. And then you guys in your writer's room, I assume you bring up ideas that get shot down.
Yeah, working in a writer's room is basically nonstop rejection. And you just start to get used to it.
Yeah, generally it's just you throw out as many pitches as you can and then people are either silent, which tells you they don't like it, or they're sort of like, oh, well, that's interesting anyway, and then they move along. That's another way.
That moves us into like there are helpful rejections and unhelpful rejections. Some rejections can be helpful, you know, and you might get feedback from like, you know, you send it to an agent and they're like, hey, this wasn't for me because of this, that, and the other, or this wasn't ready because of this. And, you know, like that's something you can learn from and move on. And an unhelpful rejection is someone who actively tries to make you feel bad or doesn't provide any more information besides like just no.
Yeah. And you also have to understand a lot of these rejections are not about you, right? You cannot take it personally.
When you're a writer, you put yourself out there so completely. It's like your heart on a page for the most part. And so any rejection, it's, you know, it's different than like if you were an accountant and you submitted your like weekly report of accounting and they're like, no, this is wrong. You know, it's not your heart on a page. It's not like a rejection of your entire career path just because your weekly report wasn't good enough. Like, but it can really feel that way as writers. And that's totally normal. It is completely normal to feel really bad when you receive a rejection of some kind. It's what you do next that matters.
I talk to my therapist about this pretty much every weekend. Like, and not just the rejection, but like my general lack of confidence and self-esteem. And, you know, what she always is trying to impress upon me that I can't control the kind of rejection I'm going to get, whether it's constructive or not, how harsh it is. Sometimes it can be pretty harsh, but I can control how I react to it. And of course, your emotions are, it's instinct. If somebody, like you said, Erica, it's very personal. And so if somebody shoots down your idea, you take that as, it's not just, oh, I made a mistake with my calculator. It's, oh, this was an idea that I spent all night on, and maybe even reflect something that I've lived through, and it was just discarded or dismissed as, you know, hard to believe or silly or stupid or whatever. So you can't really help feeling bad when you get rejection, but you can control how you react to it, in the sense that you can hold your head high. And eventually, the more rejection you face in your career, the more it just bounces off of you.
You have to make a choice to not be too hard on yourself. That's what I talked to my therapist about, is like all the really inventive ways I find to be hard on myself, like too hard on myself. Like it's a choice. When you send out that script, or you go up for that job, or you do that pitch, like, don't be too hard on yourself. Even if you feel like you didn't do the best that you could have done, you can't always be doing the best you can do. Like, people just aren't built that way. So you can make the choice to not be too hard on yourself. And I think even more importantly, to not take it out on anyone else.
When you do find yourself in like the rejection spiral, you finally just feel like you can't pitch anymore, you can't do another draft of the script anymore, how do you get yourself out of that hole?
I think part of it is recognizing that you're being too hard on yourself. Just like, I feel like this is a therapy tool that I have learned about as a grown-up, of like, when you're having a negative thought, taking that step back to be like, I am having this negative thought. So instead of thinking when you think I'm a terrible writer, you know, take that step back and be like, I am having the thought that I am a terrible writer, you know, and like distance yourself from it in that way so that you can see it in perspective.
I talked to my therapist about this too. We're just going to keep giving, passing on psychological advice and saying it out loud, even the things that I have thought after getting rejection. It's like, wow, like so overboard. It's really deeply hurtful. It doesn't have to go that far, but it kind of does, because you get stuck in that spiral, as you said, Jess. And so one thing I've started doing, as Erica pointed out, the first step is recognizing that you're in that spiral and sort of taking a step back and listening to the words that the part of your brain that beats the rest of your brain up. If you're listening to that voice, I usually step back and think, would I say this to my 5-year-old cousin, who like is the most adorable thing in the world? I love her so much. Like, would I say this to a little kid? Because if not, I really shouldn't be saying it to myself, because it's hurtful. And you're dealing with enough pain and suffering from the world that's rejecting you, like, you really don't need to pile it onto yourself as well.
I think this is a career in which it's really important to have a good support network as best you can. And while we said, like, don't take this out on anyone, there's a big difference between reaching out to be like, yo, I'm feeling shitty. And, you know, if you have writer friends, they too know what it feels like to feel shitty about being rejected. And like, just being able to practice being able to talk about it in a way that in which you can, like, this is how I'm feeling about myself. And then you have that other person who can be like, yeah, I get that, but you know that this is just, you know, another step in the path of becoming a writer, right? Like, this is not the last pitch you'll do. This is not the last time you'll get shot down in the writer's room. This is not the last script you're gonna write. You need people in your life to remind you that this is hard, but, you know, you can do it. And I think you really need to have people in your life, preferably people who understand writing, but even if you're like close with someone who doesn't understand it, someone who can be supportive of you and who listens and says, that sucks, rather than, you know, trying to fix it for you.
And to second that, I think reaching out to your own network is really important. And as much as I agree, don't burn any bridges and don't, you know, spend all your time whining to your coworkers about how you didn't get your pitches in. You know, if you have a particularly bad day in the room where you just, it's your episode and you just keep getting shot down, or, you know, you're facing a lot of pushback and nothing seems to be working. If you have coworkers that you really trust, like, I've been on my show for 2 years now and I'm really close with the other writers, especially the lower level writers. And if one of them has a bad day or are just really struggling to get something through, I will always reach out to them and say, hey, you're doing great. Like, I thought, you know, your pitching was really strong, or that was a cool idea. I try to just give them some positive reinforcement so that they're not just going to bed with, wow, I had such a terrible day and everything I did bombed completely. And what I have seen now is that when it was time for my episode, those same people were reaching out to me and saying, hey, don't worry about it. Like, you did great. You know, having that support network is so important, and it's incredibly validating when they are people that you work with. So just building that goodwill and trust among your coworkers. Don't, you know, be talking like shit about anybody. Obviously, it's just not good practice. But, you know, being positive, giving somebody a positive affirmation, and then that hopefully will come back to you as well when you need it.
Yeah, it's something a writer's group is great for too. And Jess and I are in this writer's group, and I feel like that's something that the group is pretty good about, is like we can air what's going on with us and what's been frustrating, and the rest of the group is like, you're going to be okay. You know, you're awesome. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's a good feeling, because like it's a bunch of people who know exactly how it feels and who have had successes and failures and all those things. We talked about like personally what not to do when you receive a rejection, but professionally, if you are rejected by an agent who read your script and didn't like it, like, don't you dare respond to them in a way that, like, you just don't get it. You know, like I've done reads for writers who I don't really know, and who have like turned it around on me and been like, you don't get it. And I'm like, okay, like, now I know that you're not a professional, right? Like, rejection is an emotional thing, but like, put your professionalism first, always. Don't, you know, and don't talk shit about someone just because they rejected you. You know, like, if you didn't get a job somewhere, unless they did something really awful, like, don't act like those people who have wronged you just because they didn't hire you. Like, you don't know who they hired. And if you do, you know, like, and word gets around in this town. This is a small town. My manager told me a story about someone who talked shit about her to someone who's like, he didn't know it was her, like, one of her best friends. And it was something where she had submitted a client for something and he didn't get back to her. And it just made him look really bad, you know? And she found out. They always find out.
Do you guys know the Four Agreements?
Mm-mm.
I usually don't like go in for self-help kind of stuff, but my mother-in-law gave me this book called The Four Agreements, and she's always reading like cute little Zen books and stuff like that. But one of the things that I was like, all right, I'll give this a little look. And one of the things that really stood out to me, it's like a rule to live by, and it's like, don't take anything personally. Even if it's a personal attack against you, don't take it personally. And most of the time, rejection is not a personal attack. So that is, it's such a good rule to live by, especially for this industry, because like what you were talking about just now, Erica, like, you know, to lash out at somebody who rejects you as if you're taking it personally, it's just very petulant and immature and will reflect on you poorly. And if you don't take something in as, oh, well, this is a reflection, like I pitched something and my boss hated it, that means I'm not good at writing. Like, we've all had those thoughts, of course, but it's not that your boss doesn't like you. Maybe it is, but most of the time it's not about you. It's not about how smart you are or anything like that. It really is just about the idea isn't going to work for this particular scene, or it's not, you know, this pitch just isn't going to, it's just not right for this moment, or it's not what your boss is looking for. There are so many other factors that go in. So you don't need to add, this is like a determining factor of my value and my, like, you know, intelligence as a writer. It's like, it's probably not about that.
You are going to receive unprofessional rejections in the course of your career. And I think that Hannah, what your mother-in-law's book is saying is like, it's really hard to not take it personally, but like the more you can not take it personally, the better off you will be. You know, and that doesn't mean if someone treats you poorly that you shouldn't rant about it and be angry and feel those feelings and talk about them with your support network. But like, if you respond unprofessionally in return, that's just fodder that they have now. It doesn't do you any good.
I found that the thing that helped me most when dealing with that kind of anger and hurt after rejection is to take yourself out of it and be like, okay, how do I put this in perspective, right? And the best way I found to put it in perspective is to remember it's not always about me. It's so easy to get caught up in my own headspace and think that like, I am the center of the universe and this rejection is the worst thing that's ever happened and how dare they? And then if you just pop out for a bit and look at the sort of larger picture, you're like, okay, well, this person is probably going through a lot of stuff and this what they said to me wasn't personal and they're dealing with all these other things. And so like, what is your role in whatever project you're in? You know, if it's in a room or if you're writing a new draft of something, it's like, what is your role? Is it to serve the writer's room? Is it to serve the story you're telling? Is it to serve this project that you're working on? Just always kind of remember to keep the goal in mind. Why did you get started doing this thing in the first place?
And you got to really practice keeping your cool. Like I once did a pitch that I loved. It was like an adaptation of a book, and the junior exec and I, you know, we're friends, and she brought me in on it because she knew I would love it, and I pitched it to her, and she loved it, right? She's just like, okay, let me get you in to see my boss. And, you know, a couple weeks later, I come back, and I pitch it to her boss, and I get through to the end of the pitch, and he says, now, who are you again? Like, which was like, and I knew in that moment that I was not getting that job, right? Like, that was a really awful non-rejection rejection, right? But like, I had to sit there in the room and be like, well, this is who I am. Here's my bio that I know you had in front of you before this meeting, you know, like, here we go. And, you know, just handle it. Like, it takes practice to handle situations like that, or to be in the room and have your hopes crushed in front of a group of 10 people who you really respect. And like, it's not easy, but you have to find a way to keep your cool.
Just always remember there are professional pricks in this business, and you just have to accept that they're going to be some of those guys, some of those people, and you just have to sort of keep your head down and keep working. Can't let them get to you.
Coming back around to what we were talking about at the beginning, like, rejection is a totally normal part of this business. Sometimes it sucks, and sometimes people are unnecessarily assholes about it, but you're going to be rejected again and again and again. And that just means that you are taking shots, because if you are so, I'm afraid of rejection. Anybody is. But if I was to let my fear of rejection stop me from pitching or taking swings or going after opportunities, I would not be anywhere in my career. And so I think we can reframe rejection as, okay, it's not necessarily I did something and it didn't go well, and therefore I'm no good. I'm going to, you know, sit and stew about this and think that, you know, I suck or that person sucks. Reframing it as a learning opportunity rather than I made a mistake, I should never try again. It's more, I made a mistake and I can learn from that. What about that? What didn't work there? Why didn't that work? So it really can be actually a great opportunity for constructive feedback from others, and so that you can kind of reflect on your own process and how can I keep improving? Because you can always keep improving as a writer.
I also just want to say it's okay to handle it poorly in the short term. You got the call, you didn't get the job, you know, or you got, you know, you talked to your rep and your script that you thought was perfect is actually really far from perfect, you know? But that usually involves me having some wine and ranting at my husband and just feeling really bad.
Sounds so familiar to me. Yes.
Earlier when I was starting this, then I was more likely to have those thoughts of like, maybe I should take my mother's advice and become a physical therapist, you know, like, as opposed to now, in which I am like, maybe I'm just not as good a writer as I thought I was. And just, you know, like, really giving yourself the space to be angry and sad. Because if you don't feel those feelings, I feel like you're more likely in the long term to kind of have them come out in an unhealthy way. So make sure you take care of yourself and you don't try to like tamp down what shouldn't be tamped down. So like, you can start with the unhealthy ways of drinking and ranting and then move on to like more healthy ways.
I've actually kind of developed a ritual around it. Erica, you were talking about like wine, glass of wine, rant to the husband. For me, it's like, okay, get a gin cocktail, eat some donuts, and then binge watch like West Wing for a little bit.
Nice.
If I'm feeling really down about the rejection because it was a project I really wanted or a job I really wanted, then I just go through those motions of I get the drink, I eat the donut, I watch West Wing or whatever show I happen to want to.
A comfort show.
Yeah, a comfort show, basically. And then that sort of just the ritual of it, going through the motions, helps me snap out of it.
I have just started watching The West Wing 20 years late. And it's fantastic. It probably will be one of my like comfort shows because it's just so cozy. But as far as that sounds like a great ritual, Jess, especially the donut part. I also usually do a bit of drinking and binge watching and ranting to my husband and all those things. But like the next day, I will kind of sit with it and journal about it and reflect on like what happened. And giving it a night or two will allow me to be more objective and look at it and say, well, now that the feelings are somewhat out of the way, or at least are not as strong as they were when I first felt them, what can I learn from it? And all that is important. But also I think doing like positive affirmations, I actually just wrote myself like a very affirming letter last night because I'm going back to work next week after a nice long little, you know, winter break. And I love my job, but there's tons of rejection every day. And I'm super hard on myself. And so what I'm going to do that more of this year, hopefully, is try to find ways to cultivate confidence. And so part of that I realized was if I can just kind of keep reminding myself that I am good at this as much as part of my brain and other people may want me to feel like I'm not, that, you know, I do have what it takes and I do belong there. We can do a whole other episode about imposter syndrome, but that's part of it too. And rejection feeds into that. Rejection feeds into any negative self-talk and self-doubt that you have. But yeah, journaling is helpful. And then eventually, and knowing that like it will get better and you will feel better eventually.
Something I do sometimes, especially in the heat of the moment, is I take an anger walk. Like I put on my headphones and I go out for a walk and I listen to like the angriest music that I have on my playlist.
I love doing that. That is
it's
my favorite
so
thing.
So good. And you just like rant in your head and you just like burn off that angry energy and it's, you end up feeling so much better than when you started. I'm sure other forms of exercise would also work in a very healthy way. But the other thing, Hannah, your letter of affirmation reminded me of, someone told me this long ago and I've never done it, but I should. Which is start a document, and anytime someone says something nice about your writing, write it down in there. And then you have a document that you can go back and look at and be like, this producer said this about my script, you know, and, or, you know, you can paste out of emails, but like, you know, write it down while it's still in your head. If it's someone that something that someone says on the phone or whatever. And then you just have like a document full of positivity that's specific to you.
I love that. That's so great. I have something similar. I don't have a document, but I'm actually totally going to start that. I have a text from like I had a boss that, you know, could be particularly harsh with feedback. And like at the time I had pitched something, he was always sort of just like, I like just never liked anything. And usually was like, I hate this. And so if you got a positive response, it was like, holy crap. Like the earth has just started turning the opposite direction. Like, what is going on? And so my friend who I was on this show with, like, texted me and screenshotted it, the exact words, and which it wasn't just that I heard it. It was like other people heard it as well, heard this compliment that was so rare to receive. I was like, I am screenshotting this and I'm keeping this in a very special place for the next, like, anytime I'm feeling low, I'm just going to look at this and be like, wow, that was a wonderful, wonderful moment.
I have found that every rejection that you get is going to make it that much sweeter when you succeed. Revenge is really great. Like, not that I'm actually going to revenge myself on people, but like there's something very helpful to me, at least, about noting when people have wronged me in this kind of a sense so that I have them on my mental list of people I'm going to prove wrong. And it's a negative thing, but if you can get positive energy out of it, I think it's great. If it makes you determined to improve, you know, and determined to keep going.
You can also use it in your writing.
Yes.
Which, you know, you get rejection from someone and it's like, oh, well, you know, I can actually funnel this anger and like rage at this person into a villain in my script, or even into, you know, just pretty much anywhere that you need to dig deep for some personal connection to your material. I'm actually working on a script and the main character, I was like trying to figure out what's her arc, what's she going through. And she's like wants to be a musician. She's like 16. So she hasn't really faced that much, you know, real world rejection yet. And a lot of her arc is coming to terms with like, all right, I'm not an imposter. I do belong, because she's going into this other world of music. And so I've been really channeling a lot of my own struggles with rejection and with imposter syndrome into this story. And, you know, it's helpful. That's what's so great about being a writer, is you can just kind of throw all those feelings into your characters, and then it makes it even that much more real.
Yeah, the thing that I think we really want to keep in mind about rejection is that it can make you a better writer, right? Like, I think when you get those, we talked about unhelpful rejection and helpful rejection. Like, unhelpful rejection can make you a stronger person, right? Because you have to deal with it and you learn how to not take things personally, and you learn to find your own confidence. And then helpful rejection can make you a stronger writer, right? You can look at that constructive feedback and use it to improve your writing. Like, every script that you write will make you better. Every interview that you don't get will make you a better interviewee. Every pitch that gets shot down in the writer's room will make your next pitch better.
And I know I was just talking like 5 minutes ago about this exact thing and how, you know, getting rejected over and over gives you a tougher skin, a thicker skin, and, you know, it gets easier and easier. That's not always true. And there are sometimes rejections that can be deeply harmful and can be really counterproductive to your success because you're getting rejection over and over from the same person if you work on a show or something. And, you know, that can do harm to your confidence in the long term because you're like, I am just not getting that far. And so if that's the case, I think you can't always quit. You don't always want to quit your job, obviously. But if you can have another project that gives you get validation from, whether that's you send a script to your manager and you get really good feedback, or to your writer's group again. So like, if you're really in getting stuck in a rut of this rejection is starting to really wear me down and make me second guess every word that comes out of my mouth, which happens, you know, has been something I've struggled with, then kind of switching gears to something, if you can, that is not all constant negative rejection and occasionally has some positive validation, that can build that confidence back up.
And I also think that for all our listeners, one thing you should take away from this podcast or from this particular episode is get a therapist. It will help you in the long run.
Yes, 100%.
I can't believe I waited so long in life. I was like, I don't really need a therapist. And everyone needs a therapist. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you learn how to, it helps you be more productive as a person and a writer, you know, like, it's not weakness to improve how you do things. We believe in you, listeners. You can get through it.
So thank you guys so much for listening. Please follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @untitledfemale. You can connect with us there or email us at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about next. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
You got this, guys. Don't let them get you down. I had to say something positive at the end.
I love it.